Horseback scan initiated. I'm picking up a podcast arriving. Wait. Designation: Forge the Narrative.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Forge the Narrative. My name is Paul, your host, Bella All Souls Podcast, joined by Tanya Gates.
Hey, everybody.
Adam Camilleri and Red Powell.
G'day.
What up?
Welcome, everyone, to the show. We're going to talk a little bit about Blood Angels, as you can well imagine if you've been listening to the show for a while. And after the break, we're going to talk about some of the new Age of Sigmar releases. I've been looking at those in absolutely beautiful models. It's a great game. You should check it out if you have not done so already. So over the weekend, I mentioned I was going to play the Angels, and I did. I took the Liberator Force, and that is the Red Force, not Red's Force, not to be confused.
But it could be.
It could be.
It very could be.
But the Liberator Assault Group is the one that gives you +1 attack and +2 strength. And I made some changes to like where I was going with the list from the previous one we talked about. This list had, I really do think that Dante, Mephiston, and the Sanguine are auto includes. So they're in this list.
if you look at the cost analysis of Dante, you pretty much have to ask yourself if Sangard are worth taking in your own analysis. Are Sangard worth taking? Because if Sangard are worth taking, Dante's worth taking. You put those two together, that's an incredible unit.
It is. And I'm on the fence about Lamartis and the Death Company, but I did take Lamartis in this list with 1-5 man squad of Death Company, so not 10-5, but more of a complement to everything else in the list. So some of the major differences are that I took a lieutenant with the speed of the Primarch, which allows that unit to one-time fight first, and I put it with Blade Guard, and I put in them in an Impulsor how it worked out. We can talk about that in a couple minutes, but spoiler, I did enjoy it. I took 2 units of 10 Assault Intercessors.
2 units, 10. That's pretty beefy.
It was, and then 2 units of 5 Assault Intercessors with jump packs, performed pretty well. I took a Vindicator, because why not? Sometimes you got to keep people honest with a Vindicator.
Oh, is that what we're doing? We're not just picking and picking. Never mind, I'm sorry. I'll let
you. Yeah. By the way, I still get to take Vindicators.
Yep, we got it.
I guess that's why it was on my mind. I'm like, I've been thinking about Vindicators a lot.
Yeah, I don't know why I keep thinking about Vindicators.
Don't know how good you got it until you just can take your own Vindicator.
Every week.
And a squad of infiltrators to give that 12-inch exclusion, because there's so many things that kind of have to hold your back line. And I figure that when you get that extra little bit, then it is the 12-inch can't come down, but then gives you a big old bubble of kind of space to move and live. So that was basically the list. Oh, Unit Sanguinary Guard with Dante. And I won't lie, I won't sugarcoat this. I think part of the reason that I did so well is that I did keep, of course, Sanguinary Lamartis, the Death Company, and Dante and the Sanguinary Guard in reserves. And then the Lamartis and Dante both hit their charges when they came down. Now, they do get, Lamartis gets a reroll, Dante gets a +1, so it's not necessarily out of the question. But the fact they both connected right when I wanted them to, I think, contributed to the success. And
must be nice.
Yeah, right. Living a charm life. I made a bunch of armor saves, too. It was basically like the best showing you possibly could. So, make it above average armor save and make it all your charges. Sometimes you win some 40K games.
Yeah, that's it. You heard it here, folks. Just make all your charges.
But it felt like the list had enough tools in it. And I know that Assault Intercessors are not like, it's not a hidden gem. It's not a secret sauce. But when you put it in a list that gets an extra attack and +2 strength, and then when you can reroll wounds going against people, a unit on an objective, and where do most units hang out on objectives, is that even when you're charging into something with maybe like a higher toughness, what is a 10-person squad of Assault Intercessors? What's their number of attacks? It's a lot.
40.
40. Then you add 1 for the Liberator Assault Group special rule.
50.
50. Yep. And then when you can re-roll basically wounds, you roll in there and
both the moment for real hits if you want to. You can get Lance and lethals, so you can just go straight for like hitting on 3s, rolling everything for lethals, and then everything that doesn't reroll to wound anyway. It's pretty good.
You basically roll in 50 attacks, take 45 saves. That's kind of how it worked out. And that consistently worked out every single time that I charged. It was like, boom, take 45 saves. Boom, take 45 saves. And, rinse and repeat, not too bad.
Yeah.
Tanya, how many times, and I'm not saying that we're the best, like, we're clearly not kind for this, but how many times have you asked for assistance or something like that in regards of, like, how to play, and unfortunately my best advice has been, like, if you just roll well.
Yeah. Well, that's all of my problem right there.
You're right. Yeah.
You just can't roll dice.
Well, part of this, the insurance policy on this is that it's a great unit. It's battle line, and it has a great special rule. When you pair it with the other Blood Angel special rules, I think you're going to see them on the table a lot. And you don't discount them because they're basic troops. That's kind of the point that I'm making. If you get within danger threat range of them, they will delete models. They'll put the onus of trying to roll dice onto your opponent by removing a lot of the variance from themselves. And as we try to get closer and closer to, like, perfect information with everything that we do, you know, with our moves and stuff, they come pretty close with Oath of the Moment and with the rerolls. And if you happen to put anything else with them, real nice. The lieutenant with the Blade Guard, I wasn't too hyped on the lieutenant and themselves, but they do give lethal hits to the unit that they join. And that's certainly not bad at all, but I wanted to try out the Blade Guard and bring up the Blade Guard stats here. Blade Guard, they've got two kind of profiles that you can use. Either you can reroll ones to hit, or you can reroll ones for your invulnerable saves, and basically just lived literally and figuratively on those rerolling the invulnerable saves.
I'm always so amazed at, like, how many rules Space Marines have.
Yeah, you just think that they're so plain. They, like, they wouldn't have all these things, and all of a sudden you start stacking it all together.
Yeah.
One of the coolest things about this edition is that all these units, they've got some kind of special ability. So, if you're stuck in a place in your codex, it's not performing like the way that you want it to, you know, one of the things we've always said is go back and look at some units with fresh eyes. And it's even, like, more important to do that in this edition, because these units do have these special rules hanging out on their sheet. And when you've got a, you know, toughness 4, but 3 wound model with a 4 pulse and vulnerable save, in a way to kind of beef that up. That also comes with a fairly stout power weapon, 4 attacks hitting on 3s, strength 5, neg 2, 2 damage apiece. You can give them lethal hits with the lieutenant. And then I did, the speed of the Primarch right now is kind of an expensive enhancement. We don't know what the final points are going to shake out, but that does give you a one-time fights first ability and a unit of Drago and some Grey Knight Terminators charged into them, and they were able to take out a significant number of Terminators before they attack back because of the fight first and their weapon attacks.
Fights first is a hell of a thing. It really is. It really is. It's, yeah. It's, well, actually, I love how specific fights first is, because I was so afraid when fights first came out and learning all the interactions that we were just going to see, like, Slaanesh Demons army-wide fights first, or Emperor's Children army-wide fights first, like they had in the past. And I was really worried they were going to give it away a bit too freely, but they've done a great job making it, you know, here is a character that slaps good, and all they do is give fights first. That's it. They slap good and gives fights first. No other bells and whistles or anything like that, because fights first is good enough as it is.
It's very powerful. And when you can reduce some of the attacks coming in from another, like, beat face unit with your unit, I think it's a good thing. So justifiably so, with the point cost for that enhancement probably going to remain high no matter what. And, you know, is Blade Guard the best unit for it? I don't even know, but I can tell you I had fun using it.
Well, then that is the best unit if you had fun.
Well, I got to put Blade Guard on the table. And I haven't really done that in a long time. I painted them a while ago, but I haven't really put them on the table with the angels. But they felt good in this force. I was able to feel like I had a presence in the middle of the table if I needed it. And more than the last list that I tried, that was, like, really had 3 units of Sanguinary Guard, 10 Death Company. You know, there was this list had a bunch of, like, utility units in it as well that could also do things. And I know we talked about this before, is that the Liberator Assault Group is kind of more similar to what people are playing with Blood Angels right now today in concept.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the similar detachment rule, right? And then a lot of the stratagems didn't change too much from the index.
Well, they've got that extra caveat. They get a little better. Like, you can do this and this.
Oh yeah. It's even better.
Right? Yeah. But that Red Rampage is what we're talking about. That's the one that you can get Lance and lethal hits from. And 1 CP. So that was basically on lock. We're just going to spin this every time we get the opportunity to do so. Just go to work. So it's Assault is a real thing.
It is. So, yep. It is.
So I have a question as somebody who is not very good at this game, wants to learn. What I'm hearing by hearing you talk about this list is it kills stuff good. That's what I'm hearing. How is it playing the mission?
That's a great question. What I felt like having these units, like the assault intercessors that have the battle line, that's something I felt like I wanted that every other game that I played. Because, you know, occasionally you get rewarded for having battle line. You are OC2 on a lot of battle line stuff. So being able to go up there and delete things that are on objectives, their special ability, we haven't listed it out yet. Each time a model in this unit targets an enemy unit with a melee attack, reroll a wound roll of 1. If that enemy unit is within range of an objective marker, you can reroll the wound roll instead. And this is coming off the melee profile of 4 attacks with a chainsword, hitting on 3, strength 4, -1 AP, 1 damage. But when you're rerolling, your plus 1 attack, plus 2 strength on the charge, so that's strength 6 most of the time, plus lance and plus lethal hits if you want it and spend for it, and then you get the reroll to wound. If you needed it, you could have the Oath of the Moment, which is the Space Marine special rule that lets you reroll hits. You are basically the terror of all objectives.
Mm-hmm.
So in that,
so you
instance,
put them on objectives, and then you're doing actions on them, or just holding them, or
they get that claim no man's land, and they get turn 1, they're thinking life is great, these are some free points for me or whatever, and then they basically just wave goodbye to that unit. They will never see them again. They're not making it out. They're not making it to the top of 2. Anything you put anywhere near these assault intercessors with the Liberator assault group, there. And that's the way I felt. Now, obviously, you know, limited test runs and what have you, and of course people will adapt, you know, as they know this is coming, but it felt like those two fat 10-man units are going to be able to do a lot of work on the objectives. And then you've got the 2 5-man jump intercessors, which can go in B places, of course, got the decent range. And then you never have to worry about being too exposed because you've got the Sanguiner in reserves, and the Sanguiner comes down. If someone were to charge you, he can respond out of reserves to get into combat. And I feel like that combined, when you're tussling over like the 3 objectives in no man's land most of the time, are going to give you an advantage. But then also you've got mobility to be on the table edges and maybe get in your opponent's deployment zone if the need calls for it for that particular turn. So I feel pretty good about the objective play, the mission play specifically. Card flips aside, you know, occasionally get those card flips, those rounds where you get the worst possible combination of things.
Like card flips.
Yeah. Well, it's like when they're staring down 10 paladins with Drago and you're like, well, I guess probably not getting assassinated this turn. You know, I guess this is one turn we have to wait to score some points. But outside of that, it felt pretty good. The Vindicator, sorry, Ren.
No, that's okay.
It was great.
Just mark that one down. Yeah, the Vindicator really did amazing work. It'd be, you know, everyone should. Think if everybody had a Vindicator.
You want to hear something funny, Red? Oh. I can take Vindicators, and I don't.
Yeah. You just want to change things up. Just want to. Just play around with it, see how.
I haven't built my Horus Heresy ones, which I always intended to use as my, because I got some of the beautiful new ones, and always intended to build and paint them up for a duality of, you know, 30k, 40k. Just never got around to it. I haven't felt a burning desire as of yet. Do you want them?
I mean, I'm never going to turn down Vindicators. We can talk about. We can make some back. I'll hit you up in the DMs.
If I do paint them, I'll put an extra thick red stripe on them just so red is honored.
Get that.
This concept of list I'm talking about has got me even going back and looking at Assault Centurions. You know, like, can you bring those
wild
back?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that you can. They do have sustained hits too, which is kind of nice, but they only have 3 attacks apiece.
Is it only sustained hits too versus like buildings?
We're targeting a monster, vehicle, or fortification. So it's not just buildings. Yeah.
I was one third correct.
Yeah, there's a lot of buildings in the game, right?
Oh, so many buildings, mate.
Yeah, my big Ed boss bunker. Better look out.
Oh, man. Watch out.
You are right, though. But yeah, they got 3 attack, but their toughness 7.
That is nice.
That's a decent one. With you know, OC2, 2 plus save. But think of how the Land Raiders.
Land losing Raiders. You. Are we back? Is that it? Like, we've finally come full circle.
Q
Can you deep strike? You can't deep strike land raiders anymore, can you?
No.
No.
Oh, they took that one away from you. That's sad.
Yeah. That is a retro rule we'd love to see come back.
Is it?
Yes. No. I would gladly take that one.
I will only allow it if orcs are allowed to de-jump a stomper.
Yes.
I didn't know you could.
I'll allow it.
That's the exchange.
Yeah.
Teleporters should work on everything. There should be no size limit.
I agree.
It's got to believe.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right.
So this game I'm talking about, it came down, you know, it was pretty close at the end, but I felt like I was always in it because of the pieces that were there. And so what you learn, like, after playing a few times is maybe you don't need three units of Sanguinary Guard. I hate to say that.
Agreed.
Because you do, to your point, you've got to actually be able to play the mission more often than not, because you will find yourself, like, when you're not rolling hot, like making all your armor saves, you may have to find yourself in a position where you actually have to go out and do stuff on the table.
Yeah. I was wondering, like, how you feel about, like, the 10-man units for doing actions and things like that. Like, does that feel kind of like a waste? Or a point sink just to do action sometimes.
It is never a good feeling to when you have to need your power units to do stuff, to do an action, you know? Like, that is, and that's actually what some of the players, like, say, there's a couple of Tau players that we know that basically they're great at the game, win a lot of games. The only games that they lose consistently is when someone forces their Riptides into, like, doing actions.
Yeah. Do containment with your Riptide. Yeah.
So those kind of things. And so, but this is like a lot of the power pieces in lists, like what I think the Liberator Assault Group is doing, or is able to do better than some of the other detachments that we've seen, is that the power can burst out of almost any unit that you take.
Exactly right. Because of the buffs, because of the maneuverability, it just has such a even spread of, like, viability. Most other armies are, you know, this third of my army is bad in this matchup, this third of my army is really good, and this third of my army is okay. And that's usually how it goes for the majority of time. We're not playing a skew list like Knights or maybe Demons. But Blood Angels is just like every unit is great. Every unit is great all the time. Like, you want to fight the utility unit war, and you just start slapping command points on your scouts, and all of a sudden they go and kill 10, you know, Tau Breaches, who, you know, would easily have been able to threaten things like, you know, Death Company, like Sanguinary Guard, if they're able to, you know, go and get really close and then have some command points themselves, or you're on an objective. All of a sudden, you know, 5 scouts, a couple of CP. Oh, cool, we're world enders now. This is great.
I do think you're exactly right, though, to just, like, question the 10-man squad. Like, I don't know. And that's actually, in this list, I went down from a 10-man Death Company squad to a 5-man Death Company squad and was not disappointed at all. Like, maybe 5 is enough to do all this stuff. Like, maybe instead of taking 50 saves, you know, or sorry, the 35, 40 saves that you would take from this unit, maybe 20 is enough, you know, to kill most things. You know, remains to be seen, but it did feel good rolling around with that unit. I kind of assumed that these two 10-man would kind of patrol the middle and get to the deployment zone.
There's a funny concept we could talk about. I like throwing enough dice at a unit that my opponent doesn't even need to see the dice. They just pick up the unit. And I suppose when you trim down from, like, 10 to 5, are you just, like, it just means you have to, like, play more of the game, right? For better and for worse. Like, you're on the clock and you need to get the game done in the 2.5-3 hours, whatever, at the event. And you're like, man, I just need a couple of minutes to make sure I'm going to have enough time to get this done. And so you charge your 10-man in, and they're like, yeah, no, I'm not rolling that, mate. These crew are dead. but if it was just 5 guys, maybe they're like, ah, roll it out, brother. There's 2 minutes off your clock.
Streaky, could be go. Yeah,
that's knows? That's a funny concept. You take units of overkill to save yourself clock time. Oppressive overkill.
That's deep.
So you play faster. That's unnecessarily.
That's the third
obtuse.
Level.
You would not do that.
I don't know. Maybe some value in it. Well, that's a concept to unpack in a future episode. But that's a good spot. And, like, that's kind of, I think that's the one of the things to consider when you are list brewing and list building. And, you know, early days, just kind of going through, getting the reps in and figuring out what the best combo is. I can just tell you, I had fun. I think this is going to be a good place to start if you're looking at the Liberator Assault Group. The exact list is Dante, Mephiston, Sanguinary Guard, a full squad of Sanguinary Guard, which is now 6, which they did great. Basically, I did it with the spears too. That I'm not sure about. What's the best spears versus sword? But built in lance with the spears, and I figure let's keep trying that since it's the new thing for a while. Did work out. Lieutenant with the speed of the Primarch, 6 Blade Guard, Impulsor, 2 Assault Intercessors with Jump Pack Squads, 2 Assault Intercessors times 10. The jump ones are 5, which they get the hammer, basically the Hammer of Wrath when they charge, but they got decent maneuverability, decent special weapons, good number of attacks. You know, Infiltrators, that good old Vindicator. That Vindicator is actually my original Vindicator from back in the early days. It's the Forge World.
Small parts. Scale?
No, it's the same size, but it's just Forge World parts.
I've got one of the old, you know, when we say Forge World, I'm talking like I've got one of the old like 30K size.
Oh, with the metal.
Remember when? Yeah, Rhinos were metal, yeah. Smaller little compact boxes. And then all the tanks and everything were just based off of that, right?
No. So this is the Vindicator upgrade resin bits for the old plastic, for the current plastic Rhino. That is how you used to
those
get
look
it.
Good. The way that the frame kind of sits on it looks good. It's Lamarckis, not just like a little nub attached to it.
Yeah, and 5 Death Company. And we're like a charm.
How did Lamarckis do?
Well, you know, when he hits his charge coming out of Deep Strike.
Yeah, okay, sorry. Yeah, when all your dice... When you make all your dice rolls, he works great.
He does. Like when you just, you know, yeah, it was pretty good. But that's it. So a good place to start if you're looking at the Liberator Assault group. You probably already have a lot of those models, I would imagine, if you're playing Blood Angels. And that's similar to what a lot of people are playing today. Not too dissimilar. Mephiston is a champ.
It's good to hear. Hasn't given it up.
No, and a quick refresh, you know, with a 2+ save, 5+ invulnerable save, 4+ feel no pain, fights first.
When will they learn these 4+ feel no pains?
He can advance and charge.
That ain't it.
He did die to just about every Dread Knight possible shooting at him, and it took a lot.
That'll do it.
Yeah, but gonna still take him in every list. It's like, just gotta get better at running him.
Yeah. Like, why wouldn't you?
That's right. But that's it. Let's take a quick break, get a word from our sponsors, come back and talk about some of that new Age of Sigmar stuff coming out. Hold tight, everybody.
FTN is brought to you by Discount Games Inc. Please visit them at www.discountgamesinc.com. And don't forget to ask Jay about ways to save even more on your hobby projects.
We are back, everybody. Thanks for checking out our sponsors. Check out our Patreon, too. That is one way to support the show. If that's not the right way to support the show, please like, share, hit some comments, some funny comments from the previous episode as well. Red folks are actually commiserating with you.
Weird how that works.
Some of these struggles that you are facing. But yeah, anyway, please hit up the comments. Get in the comments, everybody. That is one way to kind of like let the algorithm know that, you know, come back, hang out with us. Other people may enjoy the show as well. Bunch of new Skaven stuff coming out, and I would like to talk about Kritok Foulblade, because when I first spotted this model, it looked like he had 2 Skaven hiding in his jacket, which I love. I love that.
That is pretty accurate. Yeah,
the idea of that.
Have they not done that yet?
Like, just 3 Skaven stacked up.
Yeah, in a trench coat, and one of the top ones wears the crown that day, and then in the game they change places and they all have different abilities. Wow, I just make that happen. That's sick.
I love that. Yeah. Write that into the whatever the feedback email address is.
Yeah.
Now, Age of Sigmar has been great, by the way. I know we've talked about it a little bit in the past. We've even covered some of it on various broadcasts. But the game is set up to just function in a set of very easily defined abilities, to, you know, when and where and how you're supposed to do everything. And so the game is incredibly approachable. And the spearhead format of the game, where you just use the starter box for each faction to play the game, gives you the full experience of the game. So it's easy, a lot easier to ease your way into the larger game if you want, but you don't even have to do that. You get a full experience of the entire rule set, even playing Spearhead, which I love.
I could play Spearhead all day. It's a fantastically built game.
Yeah, I agree.
I have just been playing big AOS. I haven't actually played Spearhead yet.
Well, I have a secret for you. You know how to play Spearhead because you know how to play big OS, and vice versa. Like, the rules are the exact same.
I do have everything to make the Nighthaunt one, so maybe I'll just see about getting a game in. I got to get through this team tournament first, and then I can go into it.
Let me correct what I'm saying for the everyone that's going to get super particular. Actually, Paul, so commands are a little bit different, and that's kind of a big driving change in the game in the Spearhead version. But they're very identifiable on your card. You know what to do each time it comes up. So easy to grasp. But these new Skaven models, I believe these are the same Skaven dice from the last Skaven release.
I thought that too. There might be a different shade, but the symbol's the same at least.
Well, another opportunity if you missed them the first time, amazing. So you know I'm a sucker for themed specialty dice. So glad to see them here.
Aren't we all? Like Goblin Brain, like click clack, give dice.
I would be awfully tempted to actually put some glow-in-the-dark paint on those pips.
Ooh, that'd be cool. That has to be green, right?
I might have to do it.
Yeah.
Be a nice idea. What models are jumping out at y'all?
Well, when I first started having a look at these, I had no idea how big Vizic Skull was, the new centerpiece, that model is absurdly amazing.
So this is the Prophet of the Horn Rat, the brand new Vermin Lord, like size and style character.
Yeah. Well, I went to see if it was the size of the Vermin Lord, because it looks like it could be almost any size based on the picture, but it's on a 130mm round.
Is that huge. The same size as the Vermin Lord's base?
Literally about to tell you. But it's just lovely to see a new wave of special characters coming for the game. They're on a 120 by 92 oval, so not too much smaller. So he's on a 130 round, and they're on a 120 oval. So technically bigger. And they're about, 10 years old? They came, I think we were discussing in the green room. They came out in the other Vermin Lords. Mm-hmm. That multi-part kit came out in the end times of 8th edition fantasy. So that's over 10 years ago. But in those 10 years, we have come a long way with models. Like, there is a lot of, even though the Vermin Lords are incredibly cool models, they are stupendous. There's kind of a lot of dead space on that base. It's just kind of 2 feet on a base. Whereas, like, Vizic is filling the entirety of the base. The tail is in a poignant position.
It's like he's stepping over a broken castle or something.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, it fills up the base. I think that looks so good. I also really like that one of the things I didn't love about the Vermin Lords, they looked a bit clean. They looked like they looked like they'd never seen battle. They looked like they had just been like shanking people in the back, which is probably exactly what they were doing.
Never but Vizic looks like
he's, Vizic looks like he's seen some stuff. The horns aren't like mirrored. The horns are completely different from one side of the head to the other. The staff is so good. It's wizened and crazy. Do you know what I want to do with this model? I want to build a Lord of Change with this model.
Ooh.
I was seeing a lot of opportunity for greater demons.
Yeah,
it fits.
It would, so good, so good. In addition to like a myriad of, in addition to just being a ridiculously amazing model as it is. The other one that I...
point out a couple things on this. You see the rats at the top of the staff? Like there are two rats hanging out on top of the staff. And I'm sure there are rats, like there's one on his shoulder.
And they all need to be named on your army list. If your opponent points at one and you can't tell them what the name is, you lose a point.
I can get behind that, but you are right. Looking at the model, like you can't necessarily like if that model was 40mm or whatever, you would have been like, "That's just a cool 40mm model." But the fact that
it's
tall or whatever, spectacular,
it's gigantic. The other one that I really love, but I keep having to stare at, is the Brood Terror, which I suppose is like the mid-sized Hell Pip Abomination, you know, big master molder construct. And I was reading the description. One of the things it says, these twin-headed titans lurch towards whatever. I'm like, it's got two heads? And it took me ages to find the two heads. I was like, oh, it's got a big one and a little one. It's Biggie Smalls here.
that is horrifying. This thing is horrifying.
It's so good. It's so good, dude. I love it. It's everything I want, like the Mulder aesthetic to be. It's superb and gross.
I do like the this the design, where they've gone with the Skaven, just like doubling down on the creep factor with some of the stuff. Yeah.
Well, I really feel that's been what I've liked to see with the aesthetic, aesthetic of Age of Sigmar, and I really feel like they've leaned into the direction of whatever army they've come to, right? And so, like with the Skaven and how they've really just gone hard on that. It's no more just like the Skaven that live underneath all the Empire cities or whatever, just coming out of the ground. No, this is their own thing. They come from their own domain. They've got their own thing going on. It's really well done. And I think it has this really good artistic emphasis that Age of Sigmar has been putting into each faction every step of the way.
In addition to that, there was, I mean, this is going back, you know, a decade when Age of Sigmar first launched. There was a lot of fear that all the little sub-factions, all the beautiful niche storylines and characterful, you know, flavor that fleshed out all these different factions and races over, 30 years of the old world would be lost in the transition to Age of Sigmar. And it just hasn't been the case, which is spectacular.
Can we talk about the Doom Flayers next?
Absolutely.
Can you make an army of Doom Flayers? That would be so, I hope so. Nice. Like, just to go.
There's not really a rule of three in Age of Sigmar, but you are kind of locked to your detachments. But yeah, you should be able to make pretty close to a full army.
So these are basically giant tractor trailer wheels that Skaven piloting from the pack with a bunch of spikes and blades on them that look pretty devastating. And these look pretty awesome as well. Like, there are no losers in these new Skaven models.
I agree. And what I was saying about the clans, the different...
No.
Okay,
I'm sorry. Well,
Skaven Vindicators, are we back to this?
Not... Yeah, there are some losers out there. Maybe not in the escape lineup. But anyways, this isn't a loser in the same way that you meant it, Adam, but the Hell Pit Abomination, whatever that was beforehand to end up in that Cronenberg kind of look that it's got going on.
Yeah.
It lost.
It's pretty old these days now, mate. Oh, you mean the Brood Terror?
No, Hell Pit Abomination. Yeah. It's an old one. But I mean, I got to say, you know, look at there's something to it. I know people can appreciate it. In fact, you know, they just put some of the old Chaos up for sale, like a, you know, build to order or buy to order kind of deal. And it's the old classic, like, I got to say, I maybe the wrong word choice, but goofy looking, right? Like, just like that's, I mean, I get it. Someone sculpted that decades ago.
Yeah.
And then when you look at it, like, I mean, I have Dark Elves from Old World Fantasy, and the Hydra. I have two metal Hydras, came out with the new ones, and the new ones look, I mean, they're out of control how good they are. And
well, the old ones were on like a chariot base. They were on a rectangle base.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So
and every head falls off every time because they're all made of metal.
The Hell Pit Abomination, I believe, came out in 2011.
Oof. I was going to say, around that time, they dropped that box set. It was near the tail end, like old times was kicking on. And the box set, it was a starter set of High Elves versus Skaven.
Yes.
And that thing came up then. And everyone was super excited about it. And I was like, I mean, like, and it's intentional. I'm not saying this because it's poorly designed. I'm saying it is an ugly model. And that's an intentional.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was an intentional effort.
Man, all right. I challenge you, Red, to design a model called a Hell Pit Abomination that's a good-looking son of a...
just very charming.
Just gashing, handsome,
it's
going to
look weirdly like a Primaris Lieutenant.
Fair. Yeah. That was a good
right role. Right next to that on the site, though, is the Master Molder. And what a vicious-looking prod this thing has, and a gun... with other rats on it. So y'all know my stance on like models on models, that I'd prefer not to paint two models at one time most of the time, but I can get past it with these rats on rats on rats.
Have you painted Nurglings where there's like nine of them on one base?
Yes, but I have a hack for that.
Okay.
Don't put them all on the base. But there is something about a pile of Nurglings that looks cool. But yeah, these rats on rats, I think I can get over that and be cool with it. And painting fur to make it look good, not that challenging, if you ask me. with a couple of, like, I guess, fundamental techniques, and we can talk about that if y'all are fine with it. But you know, basically, painting fur holds up really well to a dry brush. Like, you just kind of ask yourself, do you want to paint the fur or the stuff around it first? And I think if you're going to be doing the dry brush technique, you want to paint the fur first, because you might have a tendency of going off, you know, all over the whole model as you're getting aggressive going across your, you know, 50 models or so. And you might overbrush onto, although overbrush is its own thing. Forget I said overbrush, but you might splash that dry brush onto, like, armor plates. You want to avoid that. So go with the fur first, I think, in that order.
And I think my tip, if you are going to be dry brushing fur, is to base coat it at least a shade darker than you think that you'll need. Because if it's too close to the dry brush color, then you're just not going to have a lot of depth to it. So that would be my tip, is just try doing your base coat a little bit darker.
Yeah. And if you go too bright, you could always knock it back with a wash. So it kind of, I don't want to say this is, look, I don't want to put any, like, qualifiers on if it's easy or not, but the techniques, though, like, you get a dry brush technique in your back pocket, then you could make some short work of that step with your Skaven and spend that time doing something that you might be less comfortable with. And dry brush, you know, everybody knows how to do that, should say that, you know, make sure there's just enough paint on the brush to where it comes off as you get on the top, the very tops of the edges and stuff. But I like that tip about going darker than you think you need. And I'd also say maybe go brighter than you want to on the very, very top. And don't be afraid to put two, like one medium dry brush and then one lighter dry brush. And then if you don't like where it went, a wash on top of that would go a long way to kind of erasing or forgiving some of those sins.
I agree.
If washes, you felt like you sinned, you probably didn't. Probably looks great. But if you felt like you went too far.
I feel like wash just is liquid talent. So sometimes if it's still not looking good after a wash, maybe you didn't put enough wash on.
I am a double washer these days. Generally these days, I am a double washer. I will do a recess and then an overall. And like the recess will be like almost undiluted. And then the overall will be like sometimes 1/3 wash to 2/3 like Lamian medium or some other medium.
I don't use medium.
Water.
Wow. You're a brute.
Water works.
Water works fine. Yeah.
I find
it works. There are some shades it doesn't work with as well. Like I find sometimes I had one null pot that used to almost split or clump almost if I mixed it with water. It was really weird.
No,
I can't explain it. Yeah, one pot in my life, but ever since then, that's turned me off.
Of using water?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm actually moving away from wash in a lot of applications, but there are still some that I use it in. So I will always use it in like metallics. I'll still use it in things like fur. So things that have texture, I'll still use a lot of it, but in general, I'm sort of using less.
Well, what I just described, my two wash method, is essentially like recess shade and glazing is a better way of saying it, because the top coat is a lot of the time is a glaze rather than a full shade.
Look, like, you to just
knock back or enhance a spot color. Fancy. I just want to use the right words so people know what I'm talking about.
I don't know any of the right words. I just like, this is what I do. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I've been painting some gold armor recently. Just in preparation.
I wonder why.
Yeah. You're getting ready for those tanks. But
I need to name my Dawns. In the comments, tell me what I should name my Dawns.
Oh, that's a good one.
I'm going to call this one Holy and this one Gappy.
I've got one call that there's at least one vote for Tanky McTankerface.
Yes, correct.
Put it out in public voting, and that's what happens.
I should have asked you this, Red. Do you name any of the tanks in your or any of the vehicles?
100%.
Yeah. What kind of names, if you can say?
No. So
classified.
They can't know how silly we are.
It's almost always awesome. It's really great tradition. There's a couple ways it's developed over time, and I'm sorry for the tangent, Paul, but I think that people might find this interesting.
This is probably better than the double wash, but I'm going to come back to the gold double wash.
I was going to say, I know you were on a roll. We were about to go into something with gold armor, and now we're talking about naming tanks. So the tradition that I grew up in is that you had to qualify your tank. So there's a whole train up process. And then when you go in as a crew and you fight together and you go through this whole train up that we call gunnery, you qualify at gunnery and you come out of that and you name your tank as a crew together after that. And so, and then sometimes they're depending on what unit you're in, there have been certain rules that like how and why you would name it, whatever. For example, while I was a tank company commander, I was in charge of attack company. That was the name of the company. I know that sounds pretty straightforward. It was the company that attacks. And
solid.
Yep. And I mean, it was best time of my life, man. It was the best. But all the tanks started with A's. So every single, because it was in Alpha Company. And so you could tell all of ours versus Bravo Company, Berserker Company, all of their tanks started with B's. And so you had some really good names in between there. I remember one platoon, all four of them were, the types of felonies. So like one was named, like the tank was named arson. Another one was named aggravated assault. Some good, clever names. And a lot of them, the tanks that, like my tank and then my XO's tank both had, Latin names. And
nerd.
It was all something. There was something to it that honestly we didn't allow. Like there's a certain level of humor, right? There's a lot of humor in the military that goes in a lot of different directions. And there's a certain level of silliness that we had to kind of draw the line. We're like, nope, like, someone brought up at a time, like they're going to name here you go. You can name one of your tanks this if you really want to empower that person because they never got the chance. They wanted to name their tank Aardvark. Didn't happen. That one got pulled from the list. So if you want a Dorn named Aardvark, you can figure out why we didn't allow someone to name an actual tank Aardvark real quick.
I have names for my Rogal Dorns. Or sorry, not my Rogal Dorns, my Lehman Russes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some great ones out there, right?
Good inspiration. Not as good as Aardvark.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be hard to beat.
There's some good stuff out there.
Going back to the double wash, it said with the gold. Yeah, if we get us back on topic to close this out, I use Reichland Fleshshade for my Blood Angels, and I like to kind of mimic that on the gold as well, but it doesn't necessarily always give the depthness that I want. So going back in on top of that with Agrax, just in the absolute recesses instead of an all over, helps, I think, define some of the things.
You'll find like when I start doing, especially armor types, but just any like range of models, there's five models in just about every range that like will have different washes applied to them because I just won't go back and like rewash them in certain cases. But like I'll have five that I've done the base coats on them more or less, and I go in there and I'll try, Sepia, I'll try Agrax, I'll try Reichland, I'll try Nuln, I'll try, or Athonian Camo Shade, right? Just to see the different effects that it does to them, to see kind of which direction I want to go with that. And did it like take it in the direction I thought it wanted to go? Just to your point, like, not just falling back on the classic Agrax for gold, for example. Sometimes the Nuln can take it in that darker direction that you may want. Sometimes the Athonian Camo Shade, right? We've talked about that over and over and over. That may do it and take it in the direction that you want to go. Sometimes even
contrast.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It can do a lot too. So,
well, that is our show this week. It has been a pleasure talking about, thank y'all for indulging me on the Blood Angel list talk. It's kind of nice to be able to dig into that, with the freshness that I know that folks are going to enjoy. If you're Blood Angel fans, you're going to enjoy playing this codex. And then those new Skaven are phenomenal. Like it's like the, in every single one of the Age of Sigmar releases, I've found a model that I want to paint, like just want to paint that, like from the Flesh Eater Courts or the Skaven or anything that's come out, Lumineth, like anything that's come out is like, I kind of feel like I just almost like need to paint some of these things. So the studio's knocking it out of the park and the rules are tight as well. If you've been on the fence, you got a demon army, get the models and go play in against Spearhead with somebody else and see if you like it. You got anything else before we wrap up?
No.
All good.
Good night, everybody. We'll see y'all soon.
Bye, everybody.
See ya.
Warspec scan is clear. I think they're gone. For now.